Now, folks, alcohol does not tempt me. And illegal drugs does not tempt me. But fried turkey tempts me. And I thought, well, will anybody miss me if I'm not here this morning? But you'll be proud of me. I just let them wander off. I tell you, there ain't nothing tastes much better than fried turkey. You know what? If you've never had it, that ought to be on your bucket list. Genesis chapter 1 tonight. Genesis chapter 1. I want to preach on the subject, something out of nothing. Something out of nothing. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses of scripture there in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Beginning in verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. Verse 6 says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second day. Now I want to stop right there for just a moment and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight to be able to be in this service. We're thankful, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity of bringing the Word of God tonight. Now, I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help me this evening, Lord. I pray that you'd send revival to this church. I pray that those that are listening here in the audience and those online, God, would hearts would be touched with the Word of God. And I just pray, Lord, if somebody's not saved, that they will be before this service comes to a close. The most important thing that they could do in this life is accept you as their personal Savior. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the pastor here at this church, Brother Ridge. He means a great deal to me. He always has and always will. He's my brother in Christ, and I appreciate him so much. I just pray, Heavenly Father, tonight you'd use this message, take it where it needs to be taken, do with it what you need to do, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first words of the Bible state that God is the Creator God. There's no argument there. There's no statement other than a statement. There's no explanation that God tried to make there about it. God created. Heard a story one time about a gorilla that held a Bible in one hand and a Darwin's Origin of Species in the other hand. And somebody come by and asked the gorilla, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to decide whether I'm my brother's keeper or my keeper's brother. Out of nothing, God makes something. Can you get your mind wrapped around that? Out of nothing, God makes something. Like anything we make or anything that we do, we got to have something to begin with. I thought of a lot of things that people make, you know, again and again and again. Dresses and so forth and build homes and whatever. But they have to have material to begin with. God makes something out of nothing. He made the heavens and the earth out of nothing. That is a great idea, but it's hard for somebody like me to get my little simple mind around that thought. That God can take something that's non-existent and make something out of it. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 19, verse 1, he said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We serve a God tonight, folks, that is all-powerful. We just got through praying for revival to come, and I believe that God is powerful enough to bring revival anywhere. Did you know? As long as God's people meet the requirements for revival, God will send a revival to us. He is all powerful, and in his powerfulness, he gives shape to that which he creates. He takes the bare and the empty substance and fashions it anew. He takes away the darkness, the Bible said, and replaces it with light. The Creator God tells us how he goes about his work, the work of creation. He sees the potential in the raw material and makes something quite glorious from it. You know, I never could see any potential out of me whatsoever, but God could. And you may be here tonight, you may be listening online tonight, and you're lost without God. You may think that there's nothing that you can do, that there's nothing that you can do to serve God. But if you will surrender your heart to him and give your life to him and make him your personal Savior, he will make out of you exactly what he desires for you to be. And so I just pray that you do that tonight. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God's word is powerful. God's word is relevant. God's word is life-changing. God is our creator. Being our creator, he makes the rules. When you look at the book of Genesis, it's the book of beginnings. We see the beginning of the universe, the beginning of man, the beginning of sin, the beginning of redemption, the beginning of languages. We see the first song, the first flood, the first drunk, the first marriage, the first murder, the first to die, and the first not to die. Creation is the work of God bringing all things into existence, making something out of nothing at all. And Genesis is the book that is attacked more than any other book of the Bible that's attacked, from academia to the skeptics. Creation is the opposite of modern society teachings. Rightly understood, it's never been disproved. The New Testament refers to Genesis over 200 times. Over 100 times, the New Testament refers to the first 11 chapters of Genesis alone. Understanding Genesis is critical to being a well-grounded Christian. The word created means to make something out of nothing and to do it in an instant. I mean, God didn't say, well, I'm going to create this earth and then 100 million years later, it was created. When he said something, that's when it happened. It's the same way when you and I got saved. God didn't save me through increments. He didn't say, well, I'll start saving you today and a year down the road you'll be saved. God saved me instantly, instantaneously, and he saved me completely, and I thank God for that. Now, Genesis chapter 1 refutes the following false teachings. Number one, atheism. Atheism is the doctrine of no God. Madeline Murray O'Hare was one of the greatest pushers of that, but we see it's still alive and well today. And then there's pantheism. Genesis 1 refutes that lie as well. Pantheism is the doctrine that everything is God. The tree is God, the grass is God, the flowers are God, the water is God, everybody's God, everything's God. You're God and I'm God. Well, we know that that's false. Polytheism, that's the doctrine of many gods. Remember when Paul was on Mars Hill? And Paul, they had a God for everything. I mean, and then they had an unknown God. Just in case they missed one, they had a big statue to the unknown God. And Paul said, let me declare this unknown God unto you. The Indians, when our forefathers came to this country, they believe in polytheism, the doctrine of many gods. Dualism, the doctrine of two eternal gods. Any of you Star Wars fans here? That's what they teach, that there's two gods. Then there's evolutionism, the doctrine of forces of nature. The intellectuals are mostly evolutionists. And, of course, they think that one time you was in a little old puddle somewhere. I remember this little saying I learned a long time ago. It says, once I was a tadpole beginning to begin. Then I was a froggy with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a bamboo tree. Now I'm a professor with a Ph.D. They believe that you crawled out of the muck and the mire of some mud hole somewhere. And when you got out there, 100 years later or a million years later, you know, you stood up on your froggy hind legs and then you begin to get taller and you begin to look more like a monkey and you climbed the tree and you swung on the tree till your tail fell off. And when your tail fell off, you landed on the ground on your feet and you've been walking ever since. I believe in creation easier than I can believe in that stuff. God created. He is the creator God. There's no second guessing what God's all about. He formed the earth and filled it with plants and animals. He formed the heavens and filled it with stars and planets. He formed the seas and filled them with living creatures. God forms and then he fills. Even when it came to time to create mankind, God proceeded in the same manner. He said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and then breathed. That word breathe means that he filled his nostrils with the breath of life and man became a living soul. God forms and then he fills. No second guessing what God's about. There's no mystery about God's intention concerning his creation. He takes the formlessness and the emptiness and makes something quite distinctive and beautiful. God has declared his hand from the very beginning of time. A message that we need to hear. God forms and God fills. There's no second guessing what God intends for you. God intends for you for him to take your life, as he did mine and many other people that are sitting here tonight, and make a new creature out of you in Christ Jesus. He wants to form and to fill our lives. He could take the descriptive words of the opening of Genesis and apply them as a description of human lives today. You know, when I was born and when I began to live upon this earth, I was empty. I was void. I was full of nothing. That's kind of like the Ecclesiastes said when he talked about being void, there was nothing in his life. He was full of darkness. It's a true description of man without God's creativity. Our lives would have no shape or meaning to life. Our lives would be unfulfilled. Our lives would be going nowhere. Our lives would be in despair and sadness. I wouldn't know what peace like a river was all about without Jesus Christ. I wouldn't know what joy that passes all understanding would be without the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and said to them in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And so God forms and then he fills. There's a chorus of a song that says something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, Christ understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Formlessness is what God sees, yet in his creativity, he can see what you and I can become. And he begins to fashion our lives and he makes our lives anew. Unlike the nursery story of Humpty Dumpty, who could not be put together again and was left in pieces, we can be formed and fill anew. I thought of Saul of Tarsus this afternoon as I studied this. Saul of Tarsus, one of the meanest men that ever breathed the breath of life. I mean, he hated God, he hated the church, he hated Jesus Christ. He put people in prison when he could, and he killed them when he couldn't put them in prison. One day he was riding down the road, and God knocked him off his high horse. And God got a hold of him. God began to speak to him. And when God began to speak to him, he made a new creature out of Saul. And after that, he became known as Paul the Apostle. Listen, I'm just telling you, God can do the same thing for you tonight. You may be sitting here and you say, "Well, Brother Danny, I've been in church all my life, but I'm not a Christian." Well, I tell you, you need to get saved tonight. Amen. Don't you put it off. Get saved tonight in this service. God can take up the broken pieces. God can take the broken dreams and the broken lives and recreate them into something. He can make something out of nothing at all. God can take the drunkard and he can dry him up immediately. He can make a daddy out of him and a husband out of him, a man that has spent all of his money on booze and beer and drugs and such things as that, and God makes a new creature out of him, something out of nothing. That's what God dares us to believe. When you ladies bake a cake, you have to have ingredients to start with. I was always amazed when Myra was well enough that she could sew. She'd make dresses for Marie and our granddaughters and so forth, and I was always amazed. She'd have material laid out there on the table, and I thought, what's she going to do with that? And it wasn't long, she had a dress all for the maid, and just like she wanted, like the girls wanted, and it fit fine. But she had to have some material. She didn't make it out of nothing. When you build a house, you have materials to start with. You have boards and all kinds of material that you have in order to build that house. God had nothing to start with. And he made something out of nothing at all. And let me tell you, our lives without Jesus Christ are lives that are empty and lives that are void. And yet he can take that life that's really nothing and he can make something out of that life. If you believe it, he can do that tonight. To be something, to be somebody, then we need to have the creative touch of God upon our lives. We need his infilling of his grace and his mercy. God formed the earth and then filled it with plants and animals. God formed the heavens and filled it with stars and planets. God can reform our lives and fill our lives with good things as well. There's no hidden agenda with God. Genesis is a universal, historical, and theological account of God, his creation in man. The new is as old as the Bible. The more things change, the more they remain the same. Whatever will be, has been. There's nothing new under the sun. Chapters 1 through 11 talk about who God is and what he did and why he did it. Now, let me tell you this about chapters 1 through 11 of the book of Genesis. If you will study that, if you're a new Christian especially, if you will study those 11 chapters and get those 11 chapters down in your life and in your heart, you're going to believe the rest of the Bible. Amen. You're not going to have a hard time believing the rest of the Bible, believing what God said. Something out of nothing at all. Now let's look there at some of that scripture again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. The darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I read a story about a bunch of scientists got together one day and decided they didn't need God anymore. I mean, they could make manna in a test tube and so forth. And so they thought, sent one of the scientists out to tell God, "God, we don't need you anymore. You just hit the road and do what you want to do." God's always kind, you know, and God's patient. And so he listened to what they had to say. And after the scientists were done talking, God said, "Well, how about this? Let's have a man-making contest." And the scientist said, "That's all right. Sounds great to me." And the scientist reached down and grabbed a handful of dirt. And God said, "Oh, no, we're going to do it the old-fashioned way. You make your own dirt." You make your own dirt. Let me tell you, folks, man has got so intelligent, so they think, that they've just scooted God right off to the side. We don't want him in our lives. A lot of churches don't want him in the church. Did you know that? Don't want him in our lives. Don't want him in the church. Don't want him in the school. Don't want him anywhere. We'll just do what needs to be done, God. We don't need you. I tell you what, God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. The world that God created is beautiful, rich, and matchless. It's a wonderful world, a beautiful planet, and an earthly paradise. How did God create the world? What did he supply it with? And why did he give life to man? God ordered the world from chaos to creation. Notice verses 4 and 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the water. On day one of creation, God created the light. And the Bible said there that God said in verse number 4, God created the light and said that it was good. Now notice in chapter 1, verse 10, God created the dry land, the water, and the seas, and said that it was good. In Genesis 1:18, God divided the light from darkness and said that it was good. In Genesis 1:21, God created the fish and the fowl and said it was good. And in Genesis 1:25, God made the beast and the cattle and said that it was good. Now, why did he say it was good? Because it was good because it was suited for you and I to live here. It was suited because he supplied us through creation, and the conditions are right for you and I to live upon this earth. This earth has a solid surface, abundant waters, oxygen-rich atmosphere, and has combined to create conditions suitable for life. This earth is a body with a radius of slightly more than 3,963 miles. The earth's magnetic field shields the planet from the most difficult or direct effects of ionized gas that constitutes the solar wind, carving out a cavity known as a magnetosphere. Earth's enormous size keeps it from losing its interior heat, so it remains geologically active. Its density provides enough gravity to hold on to a substantial atmosphere in a large ocean. Its distance from the sun, about 93 million miles, keeps the earth at an average temperature which life can exist between freezing and boiling points of water. If it's too hot, we become toast. If it's too cold, we become popsicles. The 23.5 degrees tilt of the axis gives Earth her seasons. You can go surfing and swimming in the summer, skiing and skating in the winter, slipping and sliding all the way. The Earth spins around like a top. It's like a huge spaceship rushing through space at 60,000 miles per hour. Without the Creator, everything was chaos. Go back to Genesis 1. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What's that mean? That means it was without shape or content. It didn't have any distinctiveness of quality, time, or space. It was unshaped, uninhabited, and unruly. We call this chaos, disorder, and discord, and disaster. Without God, the earth is a place of darkness, a place of disarray, a place of decay, a place of death, and a place of destruction. But God called creation good after he created it and put his signature upon it. How did God create the world? He spoke the word, and it came into order. He did not invent the world from something. That's left to man. He created the world out of nothing. Man discovers, God creates. Colossians 1:17 says that the Son of God holds all things together, and all things were created by him and for him. God the Holy Spirit hovers like a dove over the surface of the deep and searches all things, 1 Corinthians 2:10, and renews the face of the earth in Psalms 104 and verse 30. God ordered the world from creation to completion. And then in Genesis 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, not just good, But here he said it was very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. Genesis 2 and verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. God said, very good, when he created man. Man was the creation, was the crowning achievement of God's creation. Man was his design, his crowning achievement, a work of love and the object of his affection. The creation of man completed God's work and aspiration. Someone once called the word the human machine in reference to mankind. I looked at this up the other day. The human brain, unless you're a socialist Democrat, is the most highly developed in God's kingdom. We have, maybe all that wasn't in while I looked up, but anyway, I may add to that just a little bit. We have 75 trillion cells of some 200 different types of cells in our body. Our DNA is all different. Did you know that? My DNA, even though Reg and I are first cousins, our DNA is not exactly the same. And then we have fingerprints, and fingerprints are different. And we look all different, one from another. I know that we have some qualities that we're all alike, but some are tall, some are short, some are wide, some are thin, some are male, some are female, and it's just male and female. There are not 75 varieties. Amen. On an average day, you eat 3.25 pounds of food, perspire 1.43 pints of perspiration or sweat, and drink 2.9 pounds of liquid. You turn in your sleep 25 to 30 times, unless you're my wife. She goes to bed just like this, puts her hand just like this, and you like that in the morning. Never moves a muscle. You move 750 major muscles, breathe 23,040 times, speak 25,000 to 30,000 words if you're a woman, about 500 words if you're a man and get by with it. Your heart beats 103,689 times. You exercise 7 million brain cells, unless you're a socialist Democrat and you have 2 brain cells. And you know how to exercise them. And your blood travels 168 million miles a day. Think about that. Your blood. Are we fearfully or wonderfully made? Amen. Amen. Being made in God's image, Genesis 1:23, means that a man is not only a physical being, but that he is a spiritual being as well. We have a, I want to use the word religious, I don't like to use that word, but we have a religious nature, a nature that's created for relationship with God. God has given us characteristics of love and truth and wisdom, holiness and justice, but our hearts are restless until they find their rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. All this that's going on in America today, you restlessness. They don't have the Lord. If they had Jesus, there would be none of that going on. They'd get up in the morning, instead of go burn down somebody's business, they'd go to work somewhere. They'd be taking care of their families. They'd be trying to build a home and take care of their families, but they're not doing that because they're restless. Man is a relational being, male and female, he created them. In Genesis 1:27, God intends for us to have a healthy respect for our own bodies, for one another, and the opposite sex. Man as male and female are coupled to each other, complementing one another and finding comfort in each other. Man is also a responsible being. Notice the Bible said that he ruled over creation. Man is described as in nature and over nature, continuous with us. Man is not like a rock or an animal or a tree, but it doesn't mean we need to mistreat the other creation that God has created. God ordered the world from completion to commission. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And the Bible says in Genesis 2 and verses 1 through 3 that God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because he rested on the seventh day from all the work of creating that he had done. God commissioned the seventh day as a sanctified day, a day to rest our bodies and to separate ourselves unto God. Rest there does not mean relaxation. It doesn't mean inactivity or sleep, but to be still. What did God say? Be still and know that I am God. He wants us to cease from toil or strife or work, especially in order to regain one's energy. The day that he set aside is a holy day, not a holiday. Not an extra hour of sleep, not a day filled with fun or festivity or a long weekend holiday. It's a day consecrated to God, set apart for the worship of the Creator and observe in the house of the Lord. On holidays, we run away from our duties. On holy days, we face up to them. On holidays, we let ourselves go. On holy days, we bring ourselves under control. On holidays, we try to empty our minds. On holy days, we attempt to replenish our spirits. On holidays, we reach out for things we want. On holy days, we reach up for the things we need. One brings a change of scene, the other a change of heart. One pampers the body, the other nourishes and challenges our soul. A person who is rested is good for another day and the daily grind and the week ahead. He recovers his composure and maintains his edge and benefits his family. A weekend of play makes us dread Monday. Rest, real rest, means time for reflecting on God, renewing and reviewing your personal life and renewing our mind, soul, and mind and spirit. God made the world for you and me. He created something out of nothing. And without God, it's all chaos because man is incomplete. God is absolutely necessary for the completeness of life. There's a song that I sing once in a while, and it's called Something Out of Nothing, the same title as a message. In the beginning, the world was formed by your design. With just a word, the sun began to shine. Then you created the lowest valleys and mountains tall. You made something out of nothing at all. My life was aimless, full of empty and wasted years. I was lost, so full of doubt and fear. And then you reached down. You heard my feeble and desperate call. You made something out of nothing at all. And the chorus says, I was nothing, just a beggar, as low as I could be. Ain't it something? I'm now an heir to heaven's royalty. You gave me life in my darkness. You gave me strength each time I fall. You made something out of nothing at all. Now, you may be here tonight, and you may be listening online tonight, and you may not be a Christian. God wants to change you. He wants to make a new creature out of you. He wants to do something that you probably thought that nobody could ever do, and that's to change you and make a new person out of you. But God wants to do that tonight. Stand with me, if you will, as we have a word of prayer. And I just